Every festive we wake up with the damn sparrows. But Nzala, no, she's up at 1 p.m. Kari, and we're like, but where you been though? Here opening pots like you cooked.
A combination meal, inspired by seven colors, is something for everyone. Nando's, fire it up. CliffCentral.com.
Well, very good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to, and thank you very much for tuning in and listening up to CliffCentral.com. My name's Sunil, and I'm here for PrideFactor.co.za. Now, Pride Factor is a life skills academy dedicated to improving the quality of young people's lives. And you can find out more about Pride Factor by going to PrideFactor.co.za. And we're very grateful to Cliff Central for giving us an hour every Monday between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. and for a show that is called Inspired Youth. You can find out more about Inspired Youth by following the hashtag Inspired Youth SA on Facebook and Twitter. So this is Inspired Youth, another entry here, another show we're doing, and we've got the pleasure of having two very, very nice people, very, very pretty people in studio. We got Ewan Taylor, who is a co-cart rider, racer, and he's recently stepped into a Porsche as well. I haven't even ridden a Porsche yet. We've also got Fabienne Lance in here. So we got a guy and a girl in studio. Let me tell you a little bit about Ewan and also Fabienne. Now, Ewan started racing at the age of 11. Is that right? 11?
That's correct.
11 years old. He's done regional races, national, international, and his dream started from just a humble secondhand cart, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Fabienne is girl power all the way here, and she started at 9 years old, and she's recognized and as one of the top female kart racers, and that's regional, national, international races as well. And we would like to thank you both for coming in today to talk to us, and we're talking about dreams and ambitions on our Inspired Youth show today. So just give us a little bit of a background behind each of you. We'll start with Ewan. In fact, no, we'll break that. We start with the lady. Ladies first. So tell us a little bit about you, where you started, where the go-karting or karting. I say go-karting because, you know, I've tried karting. I did those things where you do 15
laps. Karting is the meaner, more like racy way to say it.
Okay, yeah. So I did go-karting, but the tires kept getting in the way. And I don't know, it just didn't really work. So Fabienne, let's start with you. Let's tell us some more about you.
Well, I started at the age of 9. I am part of a racing family. We actually discussed it early on, Ewan and myself. It's more like a racing pair.
Okay.
Because our dads are the first in the family to actually do motorsport racing. So I was always, you know, part of the motorsport scene. My dad raced cars, and he had a workshop tuning cars and preparing other racing cars. So I was always sort of in that environment.
All right.
But I never got into a kart until the age of like 8 in indoor karting. So that's where you do your go-karting.
At 8 years old, I was still looking for my Lego. But anyway, okay.
So it's something that I took an interest in. He was obviously hoping that my older sister or brother took an interest, and the youngest one chose to do it.
Oh, right.
So from there, I obviously had to prove myself already, just to obviously at that stage to show that I'm really interested in this. And then at the age of 9, my dad bought me my first kart, and it sort of went from there.
Okay.
And obviously building from strength to strength.
Yes.
Classes to classes, and now till today.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you started at 9. I must tell you, I still can't believe 9-year-olds are getting into karts, going, let me go and race a little bit. Ewan, what about you?
Oh, well, I started at 11, as you said.
Ah, she beat you. Ha, ha, ha.
And my career started off, I would say late to consider where I wanted to start. But I always used to love sitting there when my dad used to watch the Formula One Grand Prix, mm-hmm. and she'd play with my toys. And, you know, but one day I took real notice to it. You know, he was watching the Grand Prix on a Sunday, and I was playing with my toy cars. And I looked at this, and, you know, I was watching Michael Schumacher back then, destroying it in the Ferrari, you know, killing the game. And
yes.
So I thought, you know, I want to drive one of those. I want to be yes. that guy. You know, I want to be the next, you know, Ayrton Senna or Schumacher, you know.
Yes.
And I always wanted to race since then. I knew my dad had a bit of it. He never forced me into it, which I'm very grateful for. He let me choose my own passions, my own dreams. And that helped a lot, you know, because then you find something you're happy with. And I asked him, can I get a kart? Can I get a kart? Can I get a kart? And he He wasn't sure. He was like, you know, it's a harsh school. It is a harsh, motorsport's a harsh environment for such a young person. I mean, it's a lot on how you do and, you know, you want to perform.
Yep.
And it's a survival game. So he got me into it eventually, 11 years old. We decided, okay, you know, school marks are where they need to be. So I can get a go-kart, and I got a little secondhand one from 2005 at the time.
Yes.
And I started and I got on the road, you know, and that was where it started. Wow. And now I can say I'm already happy with where I am. I'm still climbing, but if it stopped now, I could say, you know, wow.
So in case you're wondering what's happening, we are here on Inspired Youth speaking to you and Taylor and Fabian Lance, who are both karting racers. I'm not going to say go-karting because I got that wrong. Karting racers. But they also, they've had ambitions and goals from a very, very young age. So you say you started at the age of 11, and Fabian, you started at 9. Now, as I said, when I was 9 years old or 8 years old, I was looking for my Lego. What sort of challenges can you think of when you were a child got you to say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to go and race. Besides saying, okay, I want to be a Ferrari racer, or I want to jump into and be Formula One. What are the main dreams as the youth, Fabian as the youth, and Ewan as the youth that said, okay, let me get into these karts?
I think the biggest thing is what it teaches you is a lot of discipline. When you're driving out there, you're on your own and you need to make decisions in split seconds. You don't have an hour to think of if you're going to go left or right of an accident or something like that.
Yes.
And I always use myself as an example. I used to struggle with schoolwork when I was small. And my mom says the moment I started racing, it all changed. I became like an independent person and I had a direction. And racing the kart or any form of a racing car, there's so many dynamics to it. It's the driver, it's the engine, it's the handling, it's so many things that you got to package together and then actually go and beat the other person or other people on the track. And things can change in a split second, things can fail in a split second, and it's how you deal with all of these things that you actually have life skills that you can use further on in life, whether you race 1 year or 20.
That is amazing. Yeah. So you're sitting back, and I see you want to say something, Ewan, but you're sitting back and you're like, okay, you know, when I get in my car, push the button, car starts, and I go. Mm. With karting and racing, there's so many other things that you have to think about all the time. So it actually helps you focus. Yes. And, you know, like anybody who has a dream or an ambition, it requires that kind of focus that you actually are knowing exactly what's going on. What's going to happen if the one nut comes off the wheel or this warning light goes on? Ewan, what do you say?
No, you know, like, yeah, I agree completely. I also used to struggle with school at the start, and you know, I never had anything to do besides soccer after school, and you know, racing came into it, and all of a sudden my parents said, okay, if you want to race, the marks need to be good. So I had then motivation, I had a reason to go do well at school, so I could just go practice, could leave to go to SWAT Corps Raceway after school and just get out of my uniform, put my suit on, you know, jump in the kart. And it's also very therapeutic. I find that racing is just, it matures you as a person. Mm-hmm. It makes you independent. You know, you meet a lot of people as well. You learn how to just present yourself as a person better. You find yourself. You can definitely find a different person. You know, it's a passion.
Okay, I know I don't want to be funny about this, but both of you said you were struggling at school and then you started karting and then suddenly and you're doing great at marks and everything.
Yeah, no, then we became good.
Oh, you know, modern thing is a lot of the parents, we've got that in our team where they almost dub the kids as to ADHD or ADD or something like this and that. And then they actually start karting and most of them get off the medication, and which is really nice to hear. It's like Ewan says, it's therapeutical and it's healing kids. So
Ewan, you said that was your case? You are on medication?
Yeah, my mom sent me to some sort of after school activities. I don't know, but my sister then said that when I was older, she's like, you know, mom thought you were a bit cocoa. But then I did racing and everything became, I settled down, you know, as a kid.
Yes.
And, you know, I had a reason to not go. I had something to look forward to every day. And it made me put my mind to other things as well.
You said something very important there, and I want to emphasize that. You said you had something to look forward to every day. I'm assuming that's the same thing with you, Fabian.
Very much so.
Obviously, you had these dreams, these ambitions to be this big, famous racer and go on the track and have fun.
Yeah.
And you had something to look forward
Beat
to everyone. Every single day. Now, would you say, I'm going to ask individually now. Would you say when you have a dream or ambition that those are the kind of things that drive you, that help you get to those things?
I think they also just keep you on track as a person in general. I mean, if you don't have...
Is that a pun because you raised, you just used the word track?
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
You picked it up before I did. But I think it definitely keeps you on track. If you're not doing something, if you don't have something to look forward to, if you're just sitting there, that's when you can start to lose your way. You can, you know, go other directions. So it's good to have something every day to look forward to, whether it is school, which is probably not the case with most kids, but something you enjoy. You know, so that's what racing did for me.
All right. Now, Fabian, you've been doing it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're not going to say how old you are because, you know, you don't insult a woman like that. But you've been doing it a little bit longer. What are some of the challenges you've had in trying to pursue your dream and your ambition and being known as one of the top female kart racers in South Africa? It's quite a heavy load on the shoulders to carry.
Well, it depends how you look at it. Because for me, when the helmet's on, we're all drivers. I'm there to do my job. I want to win. So I'm going to do what I need to do and what I have to do to get there. Obviously, if the woman aspect gets thrown in, I'm going to use it. I don't think I think any girl should. I always say it's a male-dominated sport. It's not a male-only sport. Mm. So it is for boys and girls. It's just
She's
that more boys do it than girls.
I think you've been preparing that one. Say that again. It's not a male-dominated... What?
It's a male-dominated sport, not a male-only.
I love that. That should be like the quote, cool. Fabian's quote. So you're saying you had some challenges along the way.
Yeah. So when I was small, a lot of it was they picked me out because it's the girl. So they bumped the girl around, and then eventually my dad got fed up. And being the racing brain or sort of racing mentor coming across onto me, he says, you know, if you're not going to make a plan and get past them and bump them back, and whether it's left, right, over, under, find a way and get past, we stop racing. So obviously I didn't want that. So I had to make a plan. And then if I had to bundu bash someone, I did it to eventually leave me alone.
That's so evil. I mean, Ewan's younger than you. Do you know
that in primary school, the girl's always the bully?
Right. So Ewan, you being the younger one of the two of you, do you find yourself bumping the girls on the track? Be honest.
I think I was always a gentleman. I know I raced against Fabian, but I did see her get bumped a few times. I did see a few guys do the bullying. But I think also when you're just a new kid on the block, you generally get quite disrespected.
Yes.
You know, I came in there and there were guys like, you know, Nathan Parkins and, you know, Sheldon van der Linde, all guys who are very, really renowned as well for racing. And I came in there brand new, used kart, a kart from old 2005, you know, these guys on the newest stuff. And just to get there, and I used to get excited because there was a huge crash that happened and I'd get to fourth place from like last. And this was my first race and I got to fourth. I was so excited. Half a lap later, I think they all just came right past me.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, okay. And you know, they kind of punched me around.
But wouldn't you say just like life's dreams, it's like that. You think you're going ahead, you're getting ahead of everybody, and then somebody comes past you.
A curveball just comes, like just...
So tell us about some of those curveballs, Ewan, that you've experienced. Because I know that I read a bit of, I did my research on you. And then, you know, you were pretty young around some of the masters and the older guys on the track.
Yeah.
And now you raced a Porsche.
Yeah.
Tell us about that journey. How did it feel?
Ah, it's the best story I have, you know. So
we'll sit back with a bit of popcorn.
I'll try it. You know, I started karts. I started with my karting and my junior classes. When you learn and get the familiar things, learn about the karts, learn about the school. I mean, it's just like another school. You know, there's grades, there's classes, there's age groups, and
you're working towards.
You know, there's
specific,
the meaner drivers, there's the nicer drivers, there's the teachers, the mechanics.
Yes.
You know, it's just like a school. It's sort of the same idea, but just fun. And I started karting, but then after I went overseas for the first time in 2013 for my junior rock finals, which was like for the ages of 13 to 15. I did quite well. I didn't get a result as what I wanted to, but I think I did well for my first time overseas. I did get scouted by a single seater team.
Yes.
Quite a big thing at that time because I have a lot of age still to go. My age was at my advantage. So they left me in karts, but they said I need to move up more in the age groups. They need to test my mettle. If I want to come to a main circuit single-seater car like a GP3 car or a Porsche, GT3 was what I drove now. If you want to get there, you need to show very quick development.
So you had these goals to reach every single point of the street.
I had my years planned out, I would say. I did have them planned out. Like, obviously, you can't plan everything.
Yes.
You know, not everything. When it comes to racing, it's 50% machine, 50% human, you know.
Yeah.
So it depends on both of you. But I went with these plans, and I went to DD2, and that's where me and Fabian, we had a few good races together. I remember the first regional, I actually remember very clearly. She taught me a few things.
She taught me a few things.
And I took them forward, you know. And
I must tell everybody listening to this now, Fabian has a massive smile on her face.
No, I'll give it to her.
I'm like, I'm going to pat myself.
respect where it's due.
Yeah, but it's good to be like that. I'm the same. If somebody pulls a good move, I'm like,
You got to respect it. And you learn from other people. I think one of my strongest things was I learned from a lot of other drivers to build my own style. And then from there, I went from DD2 and racing Fabian, which was the open class at the time. We had about 6 SA champions and 2 world champions. Mm-hmm, and there was a lot of really good guys driving. And that was quite well. It went quite well. And then I went into, I came fourth in nationals that year, and then third in regionals, and then you put me by 1 point at the end of regionals.
You said you put me and your points at Fabian.
Yeah. 1 point. Well, I make sure 1 point.
Okay, one important point.
Yeah, I was shocked. I didn't know. And I was like, wow, okay, nice. Yeah. But then I went from there to X30, which is shifter carts, which is 7 speed, which is very quick.
7 speed?
Very 7 gears, very quick little machine, you know. I mean, it's from 0 to 100 in something like 3 seconds.
Okay.
You know, it's very quick. Can keep up with a lot of your supercars in 100-meter sprint. But that's where that kind of class teaches you more, your main circuit driving, your shifting, your clutches, you know, how to keep the cart going as fast as possible in every moment, you know. And mistakes can get punished a lot. So that was a very, very big learning curve for me. I went to France, the World Championships. I qualified for that in Le Mans. And I had a South African teammate there with me as well. Fortunately, he had a very bad accident. So he got injured. But that went well for me. I was in the top 10, and I was the top 6 fastest. And that was for in the world, you know. So that was for me a good representation. And from there, I got picked up from Porsche. That's where they saw me in France. One of these team managers came to me and said he used to actually work in South Africa and live in South Africa as a driver and a mechanic and all of that. And he said, I noticed you're South African, then I decided to watch you. And then he saw that I was actually pretty good. You know, so backed me up. My South African flag, you see that my flag backed me up, which I'm quite happy about because I love to represent SA. Yes. And then he picked me up and put me into a GT4 Porsche Cayman at Spa, which is in Belgium, one of the most famous tracks in the world. I would definitely say one of the most fun tracks in the world. And I got there and I've never driven a car ever.
You know,
I was just from a go-kart. It's a big step to go.
So you didn't have a car. You didn't have a driver's license.
I didn't have a license
yet.
Even.
And
I didn't
he steps
even
into a Porsche. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't even have a license. So I'm just like, sweet, let's do this. They get my teammates in that team, which was Momo Megatron. Is the team. My teammates were leading the championship. So now I had teammates that are the best. So I'm like, wow, I've got some serious shoes to fill. You know, I'm taking the other car now. And these teammates, they took me around and showed me the track and stuff and coached me. And I thought, wow, this is fast. Like, I don't even know if I can drive this fast. Wow, this is a big step. But then I got in the car and straight away, the first session, I did one slow lap and then it just started getting faster and faster and faster. And I was just having so much fun. I was I felt like I was playing a video game back at home on my PlayStation.
That's because he still doesn't have a driver's license at the time. You know?
And I mean, this is a track I've dreamed to race at. I watched my first Grand Prix.
So let me ask you this now. You say that this is a track that you dream to race on as well. How did it feel to accomplish that? Not only that, I mean, you know, I don't know if you agree with me here, but it's very important that you have the support of other people around you.
Oh, no, definitely.
And in this case, it was this guy who just...
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he gave me... He saw my talent, I would say, and he thought I was good enough, and he put me in the car. And my dad also, you know, I must say, very big thank you to my parents because what they've done for me is incredible. They've paid for my karting, you know, they've paid up until they could, you know, until it gets too much. You know, you need to get a sponsor, you need to start growing yourself now as a person in this world. You can't have your parents spoon feed you the whole time. So they did everything they could up until this GT4 race, and that was the last thing they could do for me. And surprisingly, it's quite a good story. Like, I go there, my first race ever, and I go and beat my teammates, and I get a podium in my first race, and there's professionals as well. And that's when the team were like,
that's
okay,
because Fabienne wasn't there, you see. She wasn't the one racing you to take that point out.
No, there were two guys that finished ahead. Yes. I'm not sure if she was one. But that went well. And then from there, the team were said, okay, this guy's good because I beat my teammates. And then that's a big thing. Right. And then they said, okay, we'll extend with you. So.
You know, this is at the moment, it's a male-dominated studio, but not a male-only studio.
So let's ask
Fabienne, I mean, just in case anybody, before we speak to her very quickly, this is the Inspired Youth Show on cliffcentral.com. It happens every Monday between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. And it's all compliments of Pride Factor, which is a life skills academy dedicated to improving quality lives of young people. And you can find out more at pridefactor.co.za. But this is cliffcentral.com, and we've got Fabienne Lance and also Ewan Taylor in studio. They are two kart racers who represent our country around the world. I mean, I've been listening to Ewan speaking and how he's been saying he's been to Belgium, he's been to here, he's been to there, and I'm like, okay, I haven't even touched the Porsche yet, and here he is, you know, representing the country. But you also mentioned something, you thank your dad, Ewan. You thank your dad very, very much for the support. And I believe your dad, Fabienne, was a former saloon car champ. Explain a bit about that.
Yeah, so that's big shoes to fill as well. You know, it's famous dad racing against the likes of Cyril van der Merwe, Michael Briggs, Terry Maas. The list goes on and on and on.
Yes.
And at some stage, you know, they were very, almost celebrities in South Africa, these names. And he was very much a privateer kind of guy. He's like a DIY. I've turned out pretty much the same, which is a good thing. I'm thankful for. So racing against all those guys, he beat a lot of them. He's won a lot of championships.
Oh, wow.
You know, so whatever my dad says is right because he's winning.
Yes,
so,
yes,
so
yes.
The, obviously at the younger years, it helped me a lot, to become what I am today.
Yes.
And, also thanking my dad for everything he's taught me.
Yeah.
To be like a badass.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, but you know, you need to be stubborn sometimes. You need to be hard. I never say don't ever be arrogant, but sometimes you need that as well. So
it's
making a complete person or the complete driver with all the different sort of qualities that you need. And him being there from day one to share that with me. And today he's still there whenever he needs to. Yes. And he helps the little kids as well.
The support of your parents have been very important. I'm hearing
that.
But speak to us a bit about, I mean, you had this dream to be a racer. Tell us a bit about the journey. Just summarize us. Tell us where you got your first podium or where you first beat Ewan.
Okay, so it actually
not the second option.
It took a very long time for me to actually win a race.
Is that because you're a girl?
No, okay. I think it was just the my dad had a good motto there. He was like, you need to fight and work hard to where you really want to get to without having the best equipment. So he would be like, okay, here's decent stuff. Try and win with that. And it makes you a much better driver than getting everything on a silver platter.
Yeah, for sure.
Because if something goes wrong, then you fall hard. And sometimes you got to race with something that's not quite perfect and you got to make a plan to actually still try and get out on top.
Wow.
So my first win was in November 2001.
Wow.
I remember that day, and my mom was there to
film
it.
Ewan was 3 years old at the time.
Okay. So she was there to film it, so I watch it from time to time just to memorize this is where you come from.
Wow.
And obviously from there, it was like, okay, now you're going to win again. Now you're going to win the day. Now you're going to win a championship. Yeah. I've been fortunate, and I'm very glad to say that I've won several championships. I've come second in South Africa numerous of times.
Amazing.
Represent South Africa overseas. The best was fifth at the Rock Final. That was cool. The first girl to ever be on the podium.
Ooh, rock
so
on.
I claimed that one. Yes. And obviously everywhere I race, I want to not steal the limelight, but make waves.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to make an impression. And naturally by doing that, just put that helmet on and just go do your job. And it often comes out positive. And
Okay. Now, we know as we said in the very beginning of the show, it's about dreams and ambitions. And both of you had this dream or this ambition to be like massive racers, awesome racers in the future. And here you are sitting, you're representing the country. You have your bumps along the ways, your challenges along the way. What keeps you going?
Definitely the passion. Definitely the drive, you know, just the feeling of being in the car on the track or in the car on the track. You know, it's a whole lot of, there's a whole lot of business side to it. There's, you know, there's funding and there's sponsors and there's all kinds of politics. And this drives a driver crazy. I promise you, paperwork, don't put in, that's why we weren't good at school. Don't put paper in front of us.
Okay. You know? Okay.
But when, once we're in that car and we are going, that's what we do it all for. We go through anything for that.
Would you agree, Fabian?
I do, definitely. You know, sitting behind the steering wheel and especially when you get it, that perfect lap. Mm. It's from the best engine performance or tuning and to the best handling, and you just get it right. It's like your heart sits in your throat and you just want to shout and you're like, yeah, this is what I live for.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so, okay. Now let's just take a step back very quickly. I mean, we all know right now, if you're listening to this, by the way, we are speaking to Ewan Taylor and Fabian Lance. They are kart racers. You can follow them on social media. You can just search for them. They are all over social media. And you can also follow the show on Inspired Youth SA. Use the hashtag Inspired Youth SA. But so we're taking a step back now and let's speak about schooling, because Ewan's younger than both of us, Fabian. So how do you fit in karting, training, schooling, not having a driver's license, getting to a Porsche,
that was a bump in the road. Ooh, that was a pothole, actually. Schooling and racing was one of the most difficult. Okay, look, I haven't had much else in my life besides schooling, but it was definitely, I think, one of the most difficult things I've had to face, because even with karting, I was missing day after day after day of school. You know, I try to be there, but this national or this international race or even some regionals, you'd miss the Friday for school just to go practice, to go and drive. And so missing a lot of school became a problem. So I went to Cornwall Hill College back in the day in Pretoria, and I left that school to go to St. Albans College, which is a boys school in Pretoria. And that was actually probably, that decision benefited my career in a hundred ways. Because that school supported me. They didn't say, you know, you have to be here for this, or no, we're taking these marks away because of this. They actually, you know, sent me my work when I was traveling. They helped me. They gave me extra lessons where I didn't need them and stuff. Just those extra little things. And that helped me a lot, because I know that if I didn't have that with that school, I probably wouldn't, my trick would have been hard to accomplish, because like racing just took so much time. But I'm actually happy now that school is finished. You know, I've got it down. I've got my matric. I can go study whatever I'd like. I did do quite well, which I'm quite happy about. And I can now focus on racing for a bit. You know, I can give now my time to racing. Yeah. I just want to
You've been giving your time to racing almost all your life, and you've had this dedication, this ambition, and this dream to become a big racer. You're there, but you're still not, even though you've reached this dream, there's still more.
It's amazing.
I mean, I'm a firm believer that you may have a dream or a goal, and when you reach that goal, the dream, it evolves and something new comes along.
As you're going, you want more.
Absolutely.
As you're going, you figure out what
it's
you need.
It's another level. Yeah. It's like playing a game.
Life
and
is the endless game.
You accomplish this game and then you're like, oh, there's another one. You've got to keep going.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Now, Fabian, let's speak a bit about you. I'm not a stalker in any way, but I did see that you did some modeling and then you had karting, and then you had the challenge of being a female in this male-dominated, not male-only sort of industry. How do you get through your days?
Time management is quite important. So going back to the school thing, I obviously learned how to time manage there already, missing the Fridays. I basically started teaching myself to catch up.
Oh, wow.
And so that Monday morning when I'm there, I have like no clue what's going on. But by Tuesday, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm back on the program. And then for matric, actually, I decided to do correspondence. So I went with Damlin and I was my own teacher. So I had no tutor. I had nothing. I just sat there with my books.
That's boss.
And I studied and I made it and I had good marks. And I was like, well, if you can do this, you can do anything.
Fabian for president.
Now, what I'm picking up here, I mean, you spoke about the discipline of karting and discipline about racing. Fabian, you mentioned that earlier as well. And there's definitely a lot of self-discipline that comes into this because, you know, karting is not just another thing that people do. It is something that requires, as you mentioned, you got to know all the buttons or how to change seven gears going from zero to 100 in 3 seconds. So when you say things like you're teaching yourself, you had to teach yourself, you knew you had a certain goal to get to. You had to get to that. So is it exactly like that when you're racing on that track?
Pretty much, it is that way, and it's you know, you set your whatever you've got on your plate right now, so you've got to focus on those kind of things, bearing in mind what you're aiming at, and then obviously, like sometimes it can get overwhelming if you're thinking about everything at once. So you sort of break a race day into each heat, and then you break each heat into each lap. And then you focus on each corner at a time.
It sounds like mathematics to me.
Now wait till you have to pass someone.
Yeah, so it's not only just driving around. You actually need to, you know, where you're going to brake, where you're going to turn, how much are you going to turn, what's the kart doing, what's the engine doing, and all of these sort of multitasking things that you all need to squash into one little thing. But obviously that's overwhelming for a person to understand that's never raced before now. So that's why you go through the stages. So you
And that's why you go to the racing school.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So you've got your grade one, your grade two, and then karting or racing is the same. So that's with the racing team that I have, we do the same. We start with the very basics. This is all you've got to concentrate now. And then the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And then before you know it, you can do so many things in a split second.
Wow.
It all just becomes routine. It becomes natural.
Yes.
You make it sound so easy, guys.
That's where they say natural talent comes in. And that, for the people who have it naturally, they do.
That helps.
They tend to get it quite instantly.
That does help.
You can see the difference, you know. But you can always still do it as a hobby. You know, it doesn't matter. Imagine, you can love it. Maybe not good, but you can love it and you can still do it as a hobby.
Well, as I tried go-karting once. Those 15-lap things. And you don't even change gears in that. It's just the one pedal. And the tires always sort of came in my way for some reason. I don't know how.
Maybe that was the track. I don't know.
Yeah. But let's speak a little bit about you. I believe you do some charity work as well, Fabian.
Yes, giving back to the sport and, you know, going to the community and like with the dreams is something that I'd like to give the kids. That's why I have the racing team, I think, or part of it is like that, because everything that I've gone through, I want to give off to the others to inspire and help others. And I know it can help so many kids in so many different ways. So I've done a car seat to car seat thing with Motorsport South Africa, where we go to the schools and demonstrate motorsport and, you know, explain something like what we're discussing now as to what it can do. And give people...
It helps to get off medication, apparently.
Yes, it does. And it gives the... I always say we're building little entrepreneurs. Yeah. So,
I must just stop quickly and say, even though I said it helps to get off medication, that's not verified. It's just that Ewan was on medication. And he went off the medication when he started karting.
It's good therapy. It's
good therapy. Okay, so just I don't want the doctors coming to me and saying, hey, what are you talking about here?
No, no.
You were saying.
Yeah, we talk from experience. And you know, often I'm like a psychiatrist by experience, not by study, but by experience. Because as much as you have all these physical aspects and all of this stuff, you have a very mental aspect to it too. And, you know, putting all of that together and like coming back to the charity work, just going to school every day and be like, it's another day, it's another day. Like Ewan was saying, you need something to look forward to. So with a motorsport, not everybody wants to be or can be a racing driver, but you can be a mechanic, you can be an engineer, you can manage a team. There's so many things that you can do. So this is what we like to do with the charity work. They're going out there, showing the different machines that you get, because there's motorbikes, there's off-road bikes, there's stunt bikes, there's legend cars, there's muscle V8 cars. There's many polos. Different forms, like polo racing, single-seater racing, and then I come from the
karting
side.
So many aspects.
The field is really big, you know, so you don't have to just focus on this little thing only, and if you don't make it, you're doomed. There's so many things that you can fall back on.
It's exactly like the dreams and ambitions that we have. I may want to have a dream to become a kart racer like you and all like you, but then maybe I'm just designed to race go-karts.
Well, or you can become a designer. You know, there's, you know, your mechanic. Cart, like I've the image is very important. So like the t-shirt I'm wearing, I designed that myself. So I've got a bit of a
design. Can you explain the t-shirt to the listeners out there? Because, you know, you can't see through the computer. It's very colorful. It's got like a round thing above your chest.
On the heart.
On the heart, thank
I like
you.
To call it on the heart. That's the target.
Yeah, so there's a lot of design work and everything as well.
Yeah, so you can become a designer. You know, it's a image is important because if you want to be seen or noticed, the first impression is important. Like with Ewan, with his performance, and somebody saw that. You need to try everything you can to try and get a potential sponsor or something like that to see you and recognize you. And then you get PR people, you need media, you need marketing. Yes. So there's a whole lot of people and a team effort that goes behind OneDriver.
Yeah, so racing is not just about getting in the car and turning on the key or pushing the button, right?
That's why I told you that's the happiest part.
The happiest part.
Because there's a lot of other stuff, and that's the one thing you want.
All right, so you're listening to Inspired Youth on CliffCentral.com, brought to you by CliffCentral.com and PrideFactor.co.za, which is a life skills academy dedicated to improving the quality of young people's lives. We are in studio with Ewan Taylor and also Fabian Lance. They are both racers. They are racers. They are racy. They've been in the racing industry. What do you call it? The karting industry?
Motorsport.
Racing industry? Motorsport industry. There we go. Yeah. And they're here to speak to us about their journeys, and they've been telling us about how they've been traveling the world and the challenges. And just before we said all that, we also mentioned something about sponsors. And tell me, let's be honest, it's not easy to get a sponsor, right?
It's really difficult.
Oh my God.
I believe
it's the hardest. I don't know about you, but I'm still looking. I mean, you do get the one here and there and very grateful for them. And but it's so difficult because the motorsport industry is small compared to a lot of other things.
Yeah. So you have this stumbling block of sponsors because, I mean, I know it's very expensive to go through these international ticket, for example. Mm-hmm. And you have these stumbling blocks, yet you have this dream, this ambition to go there, to go and race on the track that you want to race on, to go and travel the United States or go to Las Vegas, and then you don't have a sponsor. How do you overcome that sort of obstacle?
Sure. I'd say that sponsorship is the one thing that kills careers. You know, that's the fear of every racing.
It's very sad.
Racing driver, you know. I mean, I've been searching for a sponsor for 3 years. You know, you got to search early before, you know, can't search last minute because you got to go through company after company, find out what kind of way is going to work, because like you got to find out the interests of that company. It's a whole lot of, you actually become an entrepreneur through racing. It's quite interesting. You learn
motor racing, creating entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I'm probably, business was my strongest subject in school because of my racing.
There we go.
But sponsorship, I'm grateful to say that I do have one now, and I must say thank you to Freddie Jeans, South Africa and overseas, for obviously putting me in the car for this year, and hopefully a good partnership for next year. But I know that the fight can be hard for sponsorship, and it's put an end to a lot of my friends' careers. You know, other guys I used to race with that I thought were like, wow, if this guy was racing Porsche with me, we would be quite close. You know, I've given respect to other drivers. I never just say I'm the best. I'm gonna be the best, but I'm saying, you know, there's other people out there that you gotta beat. You know, there's other levels. You know, like Fabian as well. You know, she wants to be the best. Everyone wants to be the best.
And, Fabian did beat you.
Yeah,
I just want to say that again. So
she did. Like, we always had some good races, you know, with Brad as well. And as I'm saying, like, sponsorships have ended a lot of careers, but I think you overcome it by finding some sort of way. You got to get yourself a sponsor or just work, you know, earn your own money. I mean, I went to Europe three months. I went from February for 3 months, and I came back only in I didn't come back in June, so I went March. And I got into a car maybe once or twice, but just to actually test it or to shake it down, not to actually give my own performance. I actually worked as a mechanic for 3 months just so I could get into the car. You know, I put in a lot of hours.
So it's not just about being the actual driver. It's about knowing how to do every other thing.
Today, drivers don't generally get involved, which is what I think they should do. After I got forced to get involved earlier this year, it opened my eyes. I was like, you know what? We actually, as drivers, have to appreciate our mechanics more as well, you know, and it's a whole effort for everybody. So don't just think, oh, here's the car, now I must go drive it and then go crash and then feel nothing about it.
Yeah.
You know, guys have put in hard work. I sat up for hours till 3 a.m. at the Formula One events with the Porsche Super Cup, you know, repairing cars, putting engines yes. in, and it was hard work. It was fun, and I love it. I learned a lot about the car, and learning about the car also can make you a faster driver.
You know? Now, Fabian, you were in Italy this year, right, in October?
Yes, that's right.
So tell us a bit about that.
So I hadn't been to this kind of event in a while, and I said, I always call this track my home because it's the first one where I did really well, which okay. is the fifth in the championship or that final. So I said it's a time for a return back to home, and it was very much so. We did really well. We had some hurdles and so on because I couldn't go earlier, and I needed that to go that week extra. But given the circumstances, I was like, you're just going to have to do what you do, and that is learn really fast and then just go for it. It was a class I'd never raced before.
Oh, wow.
So I'd really jumping in the deep end of the ocean, but I always sort of put myself to a really difficult spot because I performed the best that way. It's like a BMT kind of thing.
Yes.
And we did really good. We were the quickest in the end, and we finished 9th, coming from sort of mid-pack. So I was very happy with that. Obviously disappointed because I want to win.
Yes. Considering there's like 70 competitors.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's more than just 10 people.
Definitely. Yes, you know, but it's, you got to be realistic and be, this is what you have and this is what you're dealing with, and did you do the best out of everything? Yes. You know, and then you can walk away with that.
Yes.
And I think the team was very impressed with the performance and that. Italians generally are like, nah, I think a man can do it better. And I'm like, the helmet's on, you can't see.
You know,
so.
And
so
you also like, this is a male dominated, not a male
only. Under the helmet, yes. Everyone looks the same.
Yeah. You know? Yes. So you sort of given that. And then I think the people there definitely were like, the girl from the south is back, because that's my label, which I like.
So you've got a label in the motor industry, the girl from the south.
They know. When I'm there, they're like, oh, no, it's that one. And I'm like, damn right, it's that one. I'm going to here to give you hell.
Yes, yes. What is your label, Ewan?
Mine's actually quite funny. I don't know what the whole case is, but what they'd like to call me in Germany is Flüchtling. Flüchtling means refugee.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it's a funny, like, it's a joke. Like, they obviously don't mean it, but yes. It's just because they find it funny how I came from a country where they think we don't know what race cars are.
Oh,
and, you
yes.
know, and we come and kill it. We kill the game over there.
Do you get that a lot? Do you have roads in South Africa?
Yes, I get it all the time.
Yes, and is the lion your cat? And I say yes.
In Spain, I convinced them that I had a pet elephant named Tumi.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Great, great. So we've been chatting to Ewan Taylor and also Fabian Lance. They are race car and race karting and just motor industry amazeballs people, if I can call you that. And we've been chatting a lot about the actual motor industry and about their journeys. And they had dreams and ambitions to become really, really good and really, really awesome. But they still haven't achieved that yet because they're doing well, but they want more. Am I right?
Definitely.
Wanting more is one thing, but there is always more.
Yes.
The ladder never ends. It's like infinity.
The ladder, you are like a quotation dictionary. The ladder never ends. Look at that. Look at that. So it's all about reaching those dreams and ambitions. And if you'd like to follow them, you can follow them on social media. Fabian Lance, you can just check that out on Facebook. It's Fabian Lance 96. And then Ewan Taylor Racing. And these will all be also put on cliffcentral.com. So it's Inspired Youth. It is the end of yet another show. But before we go, Ewan, I am now 11 years old and I want to get into a kart. What do you tell me?
You find Fabian Lance and you ask her to sort your kart out. And then you go and win.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that is
for
kind
sure.
Of you.
I mean, she's running her own team now, her own business. And I mean, that's the kind of people you want to find. If you want to start racing, you need to find someone who knows the game. You know, you can do it yourself, but I'll tell you, it is difficult, unless you start with someone with
knowledge. So then let's go to Fabian there. Yeah. Okay, so I am 9 years old, and I want to start racing. I want to be the next Fabian Lance, but in the male format. But what would you tell me? Because you obviously deal with this on a daily basis through your charities.
Very much so. Yes. So what we have is we're based at Swartkopf's Racetrack. And you come with yourself in your jeans and your jersey. We've got helmets, we've got carts, we've got everything to get you introduced to the sport. And then we go through all the safety things first, because it's important to know what you're doing in case there's a crisis, because you don't want to be in a situation you can't get out of. And baby steps first. So we go with all of that first. And then we take you onto the track. And then, like I say, with the basics, very basic stuff, like literally braking cone here, gas cone there.
Oh, wow.
You come once a week on in a morning, afternoon, that kind of thing. And then we sort of build it on that. And after some time, like a month or two, you then have a look at a budget as to what kind of cart do we get you.
And yes.
You want to use one. What suits you? What can you do? What do you want to...
How competitive can we get?
Yes. Yeah, you know, so do you want to... What's your aim for your child, you know, things like that. So every person in the team is a unique individual. You're never a number by us. I've been a number in many teams before.
And that's why nobody else will ever be a number again.
So you don't like, I don't think anyone, like, I don't think you like that. I'm sure you've felt that before.
Oh, no, in Burl. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Sure. You know, so you do get that. And that's, like I say, with my t-shirt, everybody has their own number at the back. So you,
oh, lovely.
That's a 96. That's yeah. Right. That's what I go 44. With. So you go from step to step, and then within a year or two, then where you came from to where you are now. And very much important is to actually enjoy the every little step that you take, because once you're at the top, the real hard work starts to stay.
Once you're at the top, the real hard work starts. Like every other dream and ambition, I suppose. As you said, there's always another challenge.
It's always a time to get professional.
Always a time to get more professional. Thank you to both of you, you and Taylor, for coming in, and Fabian and Lance for coming in to come and speak to us about the motor industry and inspiring the youth on Inspired Youth, where we try and help the youth to live the best life possible. Thank you also to CliffCentral.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Any last words you want to say?
I just want to say thank you so much to Cliff Central for having us, and I had a great time. Thank you.
Same from me. It's a very big thank you for having me. And everybody, go out and come racing.
Yeah, come racing. Sure.
Come join us.
Live those dreams and ambitions. It's the racing is bigger than just go-karting, yeah. Is what you're trying to tell me. I know it. I can see it. I think that my favorite thing about this entire show is the one quote that I got out was, it's a male-dominated industry, not a male-only industry. Ewan, take note. Thank you guys very much for coming
thank
in.
You.
Thank you.
It's been awesome to have you here. Thank you.